Title: Atmosphere in Ableton Live 12, Design It Using Macro Controls Creatively for Jungle Old School DNB Vibes Intermediate. Alright, let's build some proper jungle atmosphere in Ableton Live 12. Not the background pad kind of atmosphere, I mean that gritty, wide, noisy, rising pressure that makes the drop feel inevitable. Classic old school and jungle risers are often a simple sound source, but the movement is everything. And the movement is where macros become your superpower. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a save-ready Jungle Atmos riser rack, stock devices only, 8 macros, and a clean get-out-of-the-way drop cut so your drums hit like they're supposed to. Before we touch any devices, set the context. Put your project somewhere around 165 to 174 BPM. I'll imagine 170. Get a basic loop running with a break and a bass line. And give yourself headroom. Try to keep your master hovering around minus 6 dB while you build this. Riser design gets loud fast, and we don't want to be mixing into accidental clipping. Now, create a dedicated riser channel. I recommend a return track for this, because it's very jungle in spirit. You can send little bits of tops, percussion, or a ghost cymbal into it, and it glues into the track. Name it ATM Riser. You can do this on an audio track too, but the return track setup encourages good sound discipline, which matters a lot for keeping the low end clean. Next, we need a source. We're going to layer a controllable noise bed plus a sample texture layer for that pirate radio, tape air vibe. First layer, noise bed using operator. Drop operator onto your ATM riser return. In operator, set oscillator to white noise. Pull the level down to somewhere around minus 12 to minus 18 dB. We're not trying to make it huge yet, we're building a controllable engine. Right after operator, add auto filter. Choose an MS2 or OSR style filter, and start the frequency low, around 200 to 500 Hz. Set resonance in the 20 to 35% zone for now. This is the air being held back so we can open it later. Second layer, character texture. This is where you can get authentic quickly. Grab a short vinyl crackle, crowd noise, rain, a radio hiss, or even a tiny slice of a break cymbal wash. Put it in simpler. Use classic mode, turn loop on, and find a stable section that doesn't have a huge transient pop every cycle. The goal is a steady, noisy bed that feels sampled, not pristine. If you prefer keeping the texture on its own track, totally fine. You can still send that track into the ATM riser return for shared processing. But if you want it all self-contained, we'll treat it as a layer inside the rack approach. Now for the core move, we're going to make a macro-controlled audio effect rack. Select the devices you've got on the riser channel and group them into a rack. Ctrl-G or Command-G. Open the chain list and create two chains. Call one noise and the other texture. In the noise chain, think of it like this. Operator into filtering, then grit, then motion, then space. So build a sequence like operator, auto filter, saturator, echo, and reverb. For the texture chain, you can keep it simpler, utility for level control, EQ8 to clean it, then maybe a touch of reverb so it blends. The point is you'll be able to blend noise and texture from a macro later, so it can evolve over time. After the chains merge back together, we'll build the main riser brain using stock devices. First, put EQ8 right after the rack merge. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz. In jungle, risers with low end are one of the fastest ways to make the drop feel smaller. You can also dip a bit around 300 to 500 if it starts sounding boxy. Keep it subtle for now. Next, add the main auto filter. This is the big sweep. Use MS2, start it around 200 to 400 Hz, resonance about 25 to 45%, and give it a little drive, maybe 0 to 6 dB available depending on taste. This is your curtain lift. After that, add saturator for tension. Analog clip works great for jungle grit. Set drive maybe 2 to 8 dB, and compensate output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Then echo for motion. Choose 1/8 or 1/4 timing. Keep feedback moderate, maybe 15 to 35%. Filter the echo. High pass around 300 Hz and low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. And keep modulation subtle so it feels tape-ish, not wobbly and messy. Drum and bass is fast. Too much delay muddies snares and makes the groove feel less sharp. Next, hybrid reverb for the bloom. Hall or plate are the classics. Decay could live anywhere from 2.5 seconds up to 8 or 9 in the climax. Pre-delay around 10 to 30 milliseconds helps it stay punchy. Start the mix low, like 10 to 20%, because we want somewhere to go later. Then add utility for width control. Width around 80 to 140% is a good working zone. And if you like, You can keep low-end mono, but on a riser that's already high-passed, it's less critical. Finally, put a limiter at the end as safety, not to smash it. Just to catch weird peaks when resonance and drive start climbing. Now the fun part, macros. This is where the rack becomes playable and automatable like an instrument. Create 8 macros. Macro 1 is rise. Map it to the main auto filter frequency, with a range around 200 Hz up to about 14 kHz. This is your main build movement. Macro 2 is edge. This is where you make it bite harder as it climbs. Map edge to the main auto filter resonance, around 20% up to about 55%. Also map edge to auto filter drive, from 0 to about 8 dB, and map it to saturator drive 2, maybe 2 to 9 dB. One knob, multiple tension generators. Macro 3 is AIR. Map it to hybrid reverb mix from about 10% up to 45%. Also map it to decay from roughly 2.5 seconds up to 9 seconds. If your reverb is clouding the build, a great trick is to raise the reverb's high-pass filtering as AIR increases, so the bloom stays up top and doesn't turn into fog. Macro 4 is widen. Map utility width from around 90% to 160%. If you want extra wideness, you can also map echo stereo spread, but don't overdo it. Too wide plus too bright can get harsh fast. Macro 5 is motion. Map echo feedback from 15 to 40%. And echo modulation amount from 0 to about 15%. Keep reminding yourself, we want movement, not a delay throw that fights the breakbeat. Macro 6 is noise. This one is about layer balance. Map the chain volume of the noise chain from minus infinity up to around minus 6 dB. Map the texture chain volume from minus infinity up to around minus 9 dB. Those exact numbers aren't sacred, but the idea is, with one macro, you can bring the riser in from nothing and decide whether it's more hissy air or more sampled character. Macro 7 is pitch lift. For a jungle-friendly pitch rise that doesn't become a cheesy siren melody, the frequency shifter trick is gold. Insert frequency shifter before the main filter. Set it to frequency shift mode. Map fine from 0 up to about plus 250 Hz, and either map dry slash wet from 0 to about 35%, or just park it at 15 to 20 and only automate the fine control. This creates pressure and lift rather than a noticeable tune. Macro 8 is drop cut. This is the pro move. Map reverb mix down to 0. Map echo feedback down to 0. And map utility gain down. If you want it brutal, take it to minus infinity. If you want it more natural, take it to around minus 18 dB so it's like a fast fade, not a guillotine. Another nice refinement is shrinking reverb size as drop CUT engages, so tails collapse instead of just disappearing. Quick teacher note here. Macro staging is the secret sauce. Don't think of these as 8 unrelated knobs. Think of 3 scenes, early build, late build, and pre-drop. And in Live 12, you can make the automation feel way more musical by shaping the curves. Instead of a straight ramp, do a gentle curve for most of the build, then a steep climb in the last quarter. That's where the rave tape tension lives. Now let's program a classic 32-bar build into a drop, and I'll describe the automation like you're drawing it in. From 32 bars out to about 17 bars out, keep it restrained. Bring noise up slowly from nothing to maybe around minus 18 dB. Move rise just a bit, like 200 Hz up to maybe 1.5 kHz. Keep AIR minimal. Early on, if it's already huge, you've got nowhere to grow. From 16 bars out to about 5 bars out, commit to the build. Push rise from about 1.5 kHz up to around 8 kHz. Bring edge up gradually to add urgency. Introduce a bit of motion, but keep it filtered so it doesn't smear snares. Start opening widen so it feels like the room is expanding. From 4 bars out to 1 bar out, squeeze it. Rise goes from 8 kHz up to the top of your range, around 14 kHz. Start increasing pitch lift, especially in the last 2 bars. And then do a quick bloom on AIR in the last bar, or even the last half bar, so the reverb feels like it's inhaling right before the impact. Then, the last half bar before the drop. Trigger drop CUT so all the tail energy gets out of the way. The drop should land dry and confident. In jungle, that contrast is everything. Now let's make it interact with the drums like it belongs there. Add a compressor after the reverb and enable sidechain. Use your drum bus or kick as the input. Go gentle, ratio around 2 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds, release 80 to 140 milliseconds, and only 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction. The goal isn't pumping, it's keeping the snare in charge. Here's another crucial coach note. keep the riser out of the snare's authority band. Jungle snares often have body around 180 to 250 Hz and crack around 2 to 4 kHz. Even if your riser is quiet, if it's living in that 2 to 4 kHz area right before the drop, the snare can feel smaller when it hits. A practical fix is to add an EQ8 after the rack and automate a small dip, like 2.7 kHz down 2 to 4 dB, but only during the last 4 bars. It's not dynamic EQ, but it behaves like it in the arrangement, and it works. Also, if you're using this as a return track, use Send Discipline. Send break tops, percussion, maybe the ghost cymbal. Avoid sending your sub or main bass into the riser return. Low end plus reverb plus rising resonance equals mud, and mud kills impact. If you want to go a bit more advanced, try a two-stage filter. Put a filter inside each chain for tone shaping, and keep the post-merge filter as the main sweep. Map rise to both, but let the chain filters open earlier and the post-filter open later. That makes the final lift feel dramatic, like a curtain coming up at the end. Or, for a really old-school vacuum seal moment, add a gate after the reverb. Set it so it's normally open, then map drop CUT or another macro to raise the threshold just in the last quarter bar. The atmosphere gets sucked inward right before the downbeat. Super effective. For extra unstable jungle texture without obvious delay throws, add grain delay very subtly before echo. Keep dry slash wet around 3 to 10%, and map it to motion so it only gets weird near the end.